Oh, welcome to another episode of Purple Insider. Matthew Power here, sitting next to Judd Zulgad in a throwback style Purple Insider episode. Judd, we have done this in our lives so many times. We've sat here with very similar recording equipment, talking to each other about the Minnesota Vikings and about calamities and breaking news stories. And I just feel like I'm having a lot of nostalgia to be sitting here with you doing this, because everything in the Purple Insider era that you and I have done together has been over Zoom. We haven't been sitting in this room at TCO Performance Center talking to each other about the Vikings being at the center of the NFL universe for something going wrong. So you are the perfect person to be here talking about Kirk Cousins not being available to practice because of close contact with someone, Kellen Mond, who reportedly tested positive for COVID. And because Kirk Cousins is unvaccinated, he is, quote, high risk and will have to miss multiple days of practice, of which Mike Zimmer is infuriated. So just give me the Zulgad reaction to what happened here with Kirk Cousins missing practice and Mike Zimmer being as candid as Mike Zimmer can ever be.
Well, first of all, this is one where I agree with Zimmer completely, and I agree with him being frustrated. And the thing that I'm trying to get people, like here's what I want to talk about here, okay? You've got your beliefs about politics and COVID, and I've got mine, right? But strip it all away, because I would guess that politically, I probably don't see eye to eye with Mike in life. But strip it all away, and what do we do? We cover football, and it helps us if the Vikings are good. Now, it's absolutely imperative to Mike that the Vikings are good. But just as a football discussion, I mean, tonight we saw Jake Browning, honest to God, if nothing else, have to throw every single pass. I mean, this is early in training camp. You have four quarterbacks for a reason, right? Like, you have guys on the roster right now to throw passes because – and Jake Browning in this night scrimmage had to throw every single pass because – well, Mond, I believe, is vaccinated, but he got COVID. That's going to happen. I get that one. Cousins is not vaccinated, despite the fact he was arguably the most important person or one of them on the team. And then, can't explain this one, Nate Stanley, who's just a guy who's around hoping to stick on the practice squad, also is not vaccinated. So those two have to quarantine now for 5 days. And Matthew, I thought this was going to happen. But I really thought it was going to happen like the week of a game or the day of a game. The one saving grace from this is, does Cousins learn? And again, put your political beliefs and your beliefs about COVID aside. And you know what? You might think that the vaccine's not safe. But the reality is you're being paid millions of dollars to play football. And like it or not, that's who you are. So does Cousins learn from this and say, you know what? I don't really like the vaccine. I don't believe in how quick it's come, or I don't know, whatever he wants to say. But I need to play quarterback for the Vikings. Like, I need to be available. Keep in mind, being exposed to Mond as he was, if he had the vaccine, he practices tonight, and so does Nate Stanley. Correct. So we're not talking about, well, he's still going to be out for 3 days, so just shut up. It's 5 days instead. We're talking about a guy who could have taken part in practice. And now, when training camp, as you know, is not – it's long in time and duration, but it's not really long as far as practices go. It's very truncated compared to what it used to be. You're going to be out until probably at least Friday. So this is a warning shot. Zimmer is exactly right to be frustrated. And my only question is, does this serve as a cautionary tale of, holy cow, what if this happens Packer week? Because you're in trouble then.
So this is the really hard thing for people in our position to talk about, because I'm not telling you what to do with your life. As everyone knows who listens to the show, it's not really my thing to try to dive into political issues. But from a football perspective, where we will talk about this from a football perspective, Zimmer made it very clear in minicamp, if you don't get vaccinated, life is going to be really hard for you. And I have trouble seeing how you can fully lead a team the same way that all the other quarterbacks are going to lead teams who are vaccinated if you aren't. And if Kirk truly doesn't want to do this for religious reasons or whatever reasons he decides, then, you know, that's his decision. But at the same time, these are the potential consequences of doing that. And you could see really the frustration and even sort of the fear for that Mike Zimmer has, that you're going to miss out on key players in big games at some point if this continues the way it's going. And here's Zimmer, who seems very educated on the topic, who's talking about the Delta variant, which, if you're paying attention to the news at all, you see has apparently a higher rate of spreading, or spreads easier or faster.
Sure.
So meaning that if you're not vaccinated, there's almost a good chance, it seems, that you're going to run into it. And even people who are vaccinated, like Kellen Mond, are having this problem. And so Zimmer, who is obsessed with winning, he is one of the most competitive people that I've ever covered. I don't know how you feel about that, but I mean, I just think it's like everything to him is football. I remember we asked him once about what music he listened to, and he had no idea. It was like the country station or whatever is on in my truck.
Right.
But like this is Mike Zimmer for you. It's 100% football. It's 100% about winning. There's so much pressure for this season on, yep, Mike Zimmer. And to have this go on in camp and to miss precious practice time, I think he has every right to be upset that a guy who could have prevented this did not prevent it. And he took some very harsh shots at Kirk Cousins. And we are starting off on the awkwardest of awkward feet between the head coach and quarterback, because he basically said, you're not a team player. I mean, that is he essentially came out and said, Jake Browning did this because he's a team player. You're not.
And called Browning smart.
Yeah, he called Browning
smart. Which is a definite sideways shot.
Three times.
Yeah.
He said smart, really, really smart, he said, to start off his press conference.
Super, super smart.
And I don't even think Zimmer is supposed to reveal who's vaccinated or not, but he just said it with Jake Browning, because we all know,
yeah,
he's playing quarterback tonight here at this night practice. He is. So I feel like Zimmer has every right to be upset that this happened to his team, and that he will be holding his breath every single day when those tests come back that this doesn't happen again. And like you said, they dodged a bullet here, but it's also a sign to all those players who decided not to, that the potential consequences could be hurting your team. And again, that's not to say that I'm an epidemiologist or a scientist. It's only to say the reality football-wise,
right,
is if you end up having to be out for 2 weeks because you end up with a positive test and you're not vaccinated, I mean, that has the potential to really hurt your team if you're Dalvin Cook or someone else.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I know who's vaccinated or not, because they haven't told us. But if you're a star player on this team or a key player on this team, but if you're Kirk Cousins, you are tanking the season if you're out. If you get sick and you miss six games or something like that, like, you have the potential to just take apart a season. Or as Mike Zimmer brought up, if you're playing for a playoff spot. So this one of the biggest questions on this, Judd, was could it have the potential, these different rules for vaccinated and unvaccinated people, could it have the potential to kind of rip apart a team? Yeah. And I think we just saw it with Mike Zimmer's press conference.
Oh, it's going to rip apart teams. We just don't know which ones. But my point about this is, okay, so this is basically a shot across the bow, right? Like, we're now seeing the ramifications, because, like it or not, the league has decided if you're not vaccinated, you're going to pay a huge price. Like, they're going to punish you. And we can get into, is that right or wrong? It doesn't matter. They've decided to do it. They are the National Football League. They can crush, basically, for lack of a better term, whoever they want to crush. And they're going to make examples of people. Now, here's the thing, too. So Kirk now has to quarantine for 5 days. And let's say he dodges the bullet and he is not sick, okay? If he doesn't get vaccinated, how many more times are we going to go through this, though? Because if he is close contact, he now has to go back in. And so that's the thing in a billion-dollar industry where he is, I believe the Vikings are on the hook, if I'm not mistaken, salary cap-wise, for $31 million in contractual obligation for 2021 to Kirk. The question becomes, at what point in time do you just have to sit him down and say, we can't have this, because they can't. And here's the other thing, and I don't get it from their end. It sort of confuses me. So I'm not saying that these guys were good, but for Kirk's first 3 years here, they had backup quarterbacks who had taken snaps before. Like, they knew, you know, I am not trying to imply that Simeon or Mannion were going to win you a ton of games. But if they had to get in, they sort of knew what they were doing, right? Well, Jake Browning, God bless his soul, has been on practice squad for 2 years. Nate Stanley, I think, is probably gone now. And Kellen Mond, from what I've seen in practice, might be fine someday, but he's nowhere near playing. So you're now risking it and taking the chance of, okay, Kirk, we're going to guess that you're not going to have a case where you're exposed, which, by the way, now we're just seeing once, and it's, what, July 31st? It's not even August yet. So that's where I sort of come to from a football standpoint. And I think the Vikings, I think both sides, Matthew, need to learn from this. One is, it's a great lesson to Cousins of, no matter how I feel religiously or politically, I make a ton of money doing this in a short window. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to make a playoff run, and doing what I'm doing now is very counterproductive to that. But the second thing is, from the Viking standpoint, do you really just sort of sit here and be like, well, we still just got Jake Browning? So, and I'm not saying there's answers, but I am saying I would be a bit concerned. I mean, think about this, Matthew. If this team, so let's just say, for the sake of this conversation, the defense is as good as we think it might be. So, like, now Zim's got his defense. It's back. Not saying it's the greatest, but it's damn good, potentially, right? You've got skill position guys in Thielen and Jefferson, who's going to have a marvelous year, you can just tell. Dalvin Cook. You've got skill position guys and an offensive line that I think should be improving some if they make the right moves. And all of that's going to come unglued because of the quarterback?
Right. But does that change anything that Kirk Cousins thinks about the vaccine? And I would be very surprised if it did.
But my question is, how can it not change how he thinks about his job and his position and the fact that he's being counted on? If Kirk Cousins was going to work at Subway or like at our jobs, I'd be like, okay, I'd probably get the vaccination. But you know what? Okay, don't do it. You have, and this is the one thing I think where we're going to get into a real, real murky situation. If this happens on a Sunday before a game, I'm going to tell you right now, I think a lot of people who are applauding Kirk right now, possibly, because they're probably as invested or more so in the Vikings than almost anything else, are not going to be applauding that. If Jake Browning has to start a game, you tell me how much of this town is going to say, good, we love to see this. Kirk stood his ground. So I'm just saying there's a lot of things going on here, purely from a football standpoint, but it's an important sport that I think people need to consider tonight.
Well, and what it's done, Judd, is it's put Kirk Cousins and this whole team at sort of the center of a firestorm. I mean, even when you tweet out what Mike Zimmer said, I got, you know, a bunch of tweets very aggressively stating their opinions on vaccinations and COVID. For people who were, what do you call that, anti-vax or whatever, and then people who are very strongly for everyone getting vaccinated, and it's sort of just even just tweeting out what Mike Zimmer said created huge arguments, and it seems to be this really hot button issue, and now you have a quarterback that can't say, oh, HIPAA or whatever, which isn't even a thing, but you know what I mean? No one can hide behind, oh, I don't want to talk about my medical history, not after you've had this happen, because now everybody knows that you and your decision directly caused you not to be on the field. And that's the bottom line for Mike Zimmer. It's the bottom line for Vikings fans. And what you said about Jake Browning, like, I don't even want to make it about Jake Browning, because every backup quarterback in the league, almost, unless it's a random Case Keenum situation, is not going to be anywhere near as good as your starting quarterback, who, again, you pay a lot of money. So are they going to pressure him? They're not allowed to do that, but I feel like Zimmer did that today. At the same time, I guess, having been around Kirk for now, what, this is year four, he lives in his own world. I mean, this is how he is in the locker room. This is how he has rubbed some teammates the wrong way and another organization the wrong way when he was there. He kind of has his own tunnel vision, and it's one of the reasons I think sometimes he says stuff that frustrates people or makes people upset. Why'd you say it that way, Kirk? Or why did you throw me under the bus? And I really think that he truly doesn't understand that. that he will stand at the podium sometimes and say stuff that will have a negative reaction from teammates or us or whatever, and he won't really get it. Why are they upset with me? Because he just kind of has that horse blinder thing on to him, and I think it's this way too. It's like, and I don't know this for sure, but this is just like a speculation based on being around him, is that he has the things he believes in, and he's going to go with that, and he's not going to change that. And one of the reasons I think this way is after he said the "I die, if I die, I die," they had a press conference with us on it with him where he was supposed to clarify what he meant. And it was just like, you couldn't really understand what he was even trying to tell us. He was just saying like, "Oh, I that's what I think." And we're like, "Okay, can you explain?" Like, not really. It was actually kind of frustrating because you're like, what do we ask him? And he's not really explaining anything. But I don't get the feeling that he's going to change his viewpoint on this, which leaves the potential door open all year for basically like walking a tightrope.
But this could happen four times.
Right, that's what I mean.
Like this, if he doesn't get sick and keeps being exposed to it, he's just, you're going to have this, and then you're out for quarantine time 5 days.
That's what I mean. You are walking a tightrope now. Yeah. And so the question is, well, let's get to Jake Browning tonight, and I'll just say the question is like, do you get someone else? Like, do you get Blake Bortles?
Yes.
Or
yes,
I do. I think they'll cut Nate Stanley.
I hope they do.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's one thing if it's Cousins, right? And he's not vaxxed and that's too bad, or you applaud that. I don't know. But anyway, Nate Stanley, like, you're lucky to have a job and now you're going to not be able to work at your job. And so, and I mean, again, if Nate Stanley had the vaccination, he could have practiced tonight and taken some of the load off Browning. My own personal opinion, and I've been saying this for a while, is yes, I go and get a backup, not because I think that guy can win eight games. Like, you're right, the Keenum thing was a once-in-a-generation type of thing for a team. That's not going to happen, but I get a guy who's just played in games because he knows how to play in games, and I think there's things about managing games in this league that until you do it, you really don't know, and the Vikings are too good for it to become just a complete bleep show, right? If this was an okay team, like if we didn't expect that much, if we just thought that was seven games or something, I might be like, okay, this isn't ideal, but who cares? But the pressure, and what's interesting is Cousins is involved in this, the pressure on Zimmer, Spielman, whose contracts are up after 2023, and Kirk, whose contract is up after 2022, and you could argue has to play well this year or things could get ugly in March. There's pressure on all three and they're tied together. And so if one of them sort of goes off on his own, it's like, well, here's what I'm doing. It's interesting to me because, I mean, this can cost people potentially their careers. And, you know, as good as Kirk's stats are sometimes, if Kirk doesn't have a great year, I don't know that Kirk's going to get the next big contract that Kirk thinks he's going to get. So, like, because I think Kirk just thinks, well, I'll do it again. I'll fool the Jets and get another team. But, you know, I can tell you this right now, what happened today is going to be put in a file folder or something by other teams. Because if you're Tom Brady and you pull this, you're Tom Brady, right? But then, you know, Kirk's not there. So Kirk's good, but he's not great. And this is the type of thing where, like it or not, fair or not, this shows you don't love football. You know what I mean? And what are teams like? They like guys who love football. So I think Kirk needs to realize he's sort of tied into this in a big way, that this is not just him being off by himself. This is him being very intertwined with what's going on here. And if this goes sideways, people will be fired and Kirk could be gone.
That's what I mean about the implications of this and why Zimmer was as strong as he is about this is because he knows. Like, his career rests on this. And, you know, if Cousins misses two games and you miss the playoffs by one game and you lose both of those games that he's out because close contact or whatever, no one's going to go back and say, oh, you know, they missed Kirk for two games, so Zim, you're good. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, this happens all the time where things go wrong for a team and there are reasons, but when you do the evaluation at the end of the year, you say, this is the bottom line. What was it, Parcells? You are your record? Like, that's what's going to matter. So if you have that mixed into your season and it ends up costing you, like, that's going to go on your record either way. Like, they don't put little asterisk. It's like, this is like with kickers, too. Oh, well, we missed the field goal at the end. Well, they don't put an asterisk, lost because you kicked a field goal or whatever, right? They give you a loss.
Tried real hard.
It's like when people say, well, like, oh, well, we should have won the Seattle game. Like, well, great. But, you know, at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. Right. So the same thing with this. If Cousins and his vaccination status end up costing them games, like, imagine how Mike Zimmer feels. Imagine how you would feel if at your job somebody else's vaccination status was resting for your possible future career. I mean, I think that's a position of great anxiety for Zimmer. So I understand why he was so harsh in the way that he spoke, but I don't think a lot's going to change. So this is a thing where it's like, you better have your Tom Pelissero alerts on your phone.
So what
like
do you
I do.
Like, but what do you
I don't
do
know.
Then?
I don't know. I don't know what to do. I think
because I don't think you can just stand pat completely and be like, oh, too bad, we can't get Kirk to change his mind. I don't think you can do that either.
I think I've got the best solution, and it's not great. You leave him at home for all the meetings and stuff like that. You make him do everything virtually. Then he comes to practice, and he practices, and that's it. And then he goes home back to his house. Like, Zimmer even opened the door for separating one of the quarterbacks.
Which teams did last year. That's
right.
That happened with a lot of teams.
I think that might be him.
So hold on. So you have him do all of the quarterback stuff and team stuff virtually, and then have him come here to practice and then just go right home. But I mean, you can't.
That's the best I can come up with.
No, I know. But you can't then stop him from going out, which I think he does still. It goes to restaurants, you know?
Well, yeah,
like,
I don't know.
I just think the whole thing – I don't know what you do, man, but with the expectations for this team, this is one of the weirdest things I've seen. And this is the Vikings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
no,
I'm trying to think, like, what do you do? Now, I would get a veteran quarterback, but I'm not saying that that's going to get you wins. I'm just saying I would have an alternative like they have for the past 3 years that's better probably than a kid that you don't know about. But, I mean, this is a team that's had cruises go awry. Bryant McKinney showed up for training camp under Les Frazier 1 year with his cholesterol so high that he couldn't practice, and they were afraid he might have a stroke and die if he did. You know, we can go through the litany of things that this team has done, bad luck that this team has had. But given this situation, I am really at a complete loss. If Kirk just comes in and says, I'm not doing it, because it's not like you can skirt the rules. That's become crystal clear, right?
Right.
So what the hell do you do?
I don't know, but I do know that it has the potential to take apart a team in a way that a wide receiver or safety or kicker or whatever would not. Like the Buffalo Bills, for example, Stephon Diggs, very strongly pro-vaccination. Cole Beasley has been incredibly open about not wanting to be vaccinated. But those are two receivers, and if you lose a receiver, okay, even if you lost all your receivers for a game, you could still probably win. Like, there's a chance you can. If you lose your quarterback, I mean, this is supposed to be the guy who really is the front face of your organization, who leads your team. I mean, he's just – your quarterback is everything in the NFL. And so to not have him available for this week of practices, to have players who rely on Kirk Cousins to win games and to make Pro Bowls and to – I mean, it goes on everyone's record. Like, that's how much – that's why it's so hard to be an NFL quarterback, is the amount of pressure that's on you all the time. And I think with Cousins, it's funny about how, like, his horse blinderness has, I think, played a role in his success, because it doesn't seem to matter how much he gets criticized or who's mad at him. He just is always Kirk. Yep. But from this case, I don't know what kind of horse blinders you could put on when the head coach is saying about your backup, he's really smart and a team player. So anyway, it's going to be a very uncomfortable situation. I will be interested to see what Kirk Cousins has to say about this. I'm sure it will sort of be prepared statement.
I was going to say, it's not going to be enlightening. That's the thing about it.
Right. And it's going to be frustrating. And
he won't tell you. If he decides to get vaxxed, he ain't going to tell you.
Right. And I think it's really frustrating for fans too, because you saw the crowd tonight. And I was thinking as I was walking through the concourse, just like, how many people came out to see Kirk Cousins throw the football tonight, and he's not here, and I don't know what to tell you. Right? I just don't know what to tell you. Like, these are the rules. There's nothing you can do about it unless he decides to get vaccinated, and I don't know if that's going to happen. So I'm sure that tonight a lot of people enjoyed watching Jake Browning, but they wanted to see the star quarterback.
Yes.
And yeah, I don't know. Like, this is the world we live in at this moment, and it's going to be very tense, I think, around here for a long time.
Well,
so
you're right, because, and I don't blame him, that the coach who has a tendency to get tense is going to get very tense.
Yes.
Like if, because this is going to screw with a lot of things he did. And if the Vikings don't have Kirk for two or three games, just for example, and Mike's defense plays lights out and they score 3 points, and so, you know, his teams lose 10-3 or something, it's going to, yeah, he's going to be, he's, this is not going to go right off Zimmer's back. Let me tell you that.
Well, and we know that Zimmer is an all-time grudge holder, which I respect.
Yeah,
as an all-time
that.
Grudge holder, yeah, as you
good.
Know about me.
Yes.
But here's one thing I thought of, and then I swear we'll talk about Jake Browning and what happened tonight on the field, that the gloves might be off. Like, everybody, like Zimmer once said out loud that he made a snarky comment, like, someday I'll write a book and I'll just tell you guys everything that happened here, or something. Or if they ever fire me, I'll just have a press conference and say everything. And I thought, I wonder if he's just going to say everything this year with Kirk Cousins, because there were times last year where he started to let it sneak out a little. Yeah, sometimes Kirk locks onto his first read, he said after the Atlanta Falcons loss. I think that Zimmer has done a really amazing job of sort of, you know, keeping his fists clenched in his, or whatever, you know, keeping his lips tight.
Yeah.
When it came to frustrating losses where the quarterback didn't show up, I wonder if gloves are off, because everybody knows this is it. And if Kirk doesn't play well enough this year, they're going to move him. He's not going to be here after this year.
Right.
So I wonder if Zimmer says, whatever, I'm just going to say whatever I want, because he let us down with this thing from the very beginning. So this will be worth watching. This will be theater.
Most definitely.
Jake Browning was terrific tonight. He was terrific. And I think he deserves a ton of credit, because this is not a guy who ever gets to play with the first team. He doesn't know these receivers. And he's thrown into this situation out of complete nowhere. The crowd is there. The stands are full. There's a lot of pressure on him from the outside of just, like, NFL Network is here, and they're mm-hmm. showing highlights, and they're videotaping everything. The reporters, including myself and yourself, standing on the sideline, tweeting out every throw. And he was great. I mean, he threw passes on target. He was in command. He didn't look shaken or thrown off in any way. And I had the thought come to my mind of, like, he could be a Case Keenum type of guy. Big college stats, not the biggest arm, but the right mentality. And I remember Sage Rosenfels coming to his first training camp and saying, I really like what I see of this guy, of a backup quarterback, because he just has that demeanor to him. And I think we really saw that tonight. We haven't seen it from Kellen Mond. There's been many backups that we have not seen it from in practice in years past. I was really impressed with what Jake Browning did tonight.
Yeah, he looked good. Got off to a shaky start, but I mean, of course he did. He got thrown in there, and it's impossible to win. But yeah, he came around. He looked good. He looked solid. I mean, I think he knows what he's doing. I just don't know. I don't know when he gets in a real game environment what would happen then. So I'd be curious to see that. But yeah, he was, and I mean, it is incredible to think that, you know, he was the only quarterback in a training camp practice. That does not happen.
Never.
They're going to, I would guess, for practice, at least starting, because they'll be off on Sunday, on Monday, sign one or two more, because, like, you need arms. And I swear to God, Jake Browning probably threw 90 passes tonight. Like,
okay, I've got how many he threw.
Oh, you do?
In 11 on 11.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say total, he probably threw 90 to 95.
Want to remind you to go to sodastick.com to get your original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. If you have not seen it yet, you've got to check it out. A couple of my favorite designs are the Duck Duck Gray Duck and the Randy Moss Goat, which you've got to see. All their apparel is screen-printed here in Minnesota on super soft, super comfy shirts and hoodies. You will love it. We're going to hook you up with free shipping on your next order. By the way, use promo code PURPLEINSIDER for free shipping. That's SodaStick, SOTASTICK.com. Original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. Code PURPLEINSIDER for free shipping.
He went 26 of 37, according to Eric Smith, Vikings.com. 37 passes in a practice in 11-on-11 drills is not something you would ever see even from a starting quarterback. So if you include the warm-ups, the 7-on-7 drills, the one-on-ones, all those things, I mean, they usually have four quarterbacks throwing.
Yes, for a reason.
And they had one. So, great. I mean,
good for him.
Great job to him. It reminds me of like when, say, for example, a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball gets hurt in the first inning and somebody has to come in and pitch like four innings, even though they never do. And if you get through it, you give your team a chance. I think Jake Browning gave his team a chance to have a good practice.
Yep.
He gave the fans a chance to have a good night here, as opposed to, oh my God, this practice is horrible. Like, this could have been really bad. And instead, Jake Browning made it good, which gives me only a little bit of, I guess, confidence that he could come into a game and not just completely fall apart and maybe do something. But if you're talking about track record, what you're saying about bringing in an established quarterback is exactly right. I mean, I agree with you that you want to have somebody like a Trevor Siemian. Sean Mannion ironically signed today with the Seattle Seahawks. Maybe he'll get cut coming out of training camp. I don't know. But I just think that we can separate the two things of, like, what would Jake Browning do if he had to play six games versus what he did tonight and what he showed tonight. I think that he solidified himself as the backup quarterback tonight to show up under at least some level of bright lights and make throws. I mean, he made throws, like, downfield.
Thielen made a great catch. KJ Osborne made a really nice catch.
You can find them anywhere on Twitter, like the highlights. But he made
nice
really
catches.
Good throws. He had a nice touchdown pass to Irv Smith in the corner of the end zone on a red zone drill. Like, I just think that he deserves a lot of credit for being thrown into a situation that was just awful.
Right.
And doing enough to, like, look like an NFL quarterback tonight. Mm-hmm. And that is something that we haven't seen from Kellen Mond in practice at all. And, you know, to do it tonight, I think even in a regular practice, it would have been good. But to do it tonight says a little bit more about his mentality and how he could handle a situation like that. So I think that this is meaningful, I think.
Yeah, and this, to me, in especially before Cousins and Mond went out, to me, there was no question Browning is going to go into the year, unless they acquire somebody else, Matthew, as the second QB. He's going to be the backup. I think they know that Mond is not prepared yet. I think Mond's mechanics need work. I like what he does as far as attitude, and it looks like he's a sponge, which is great. But I don't think he's going to be in any way prepared to play in a game in 2021. So I do think – so what we saw from Browning here tonight is probably a positive to – the Vikings, if their plan is what it looks to be right now, which is, I think he's going to go in that they'll keep three QBs on the 53 man, and that it will go Cousins, Browning, and then Mond just gets kept because he's not going to be cut, obviously. So this probably bolstered and solidified their opinion, because Browning he's not a disaster for sure. Like, he knows what he's doing. I have questions about actual competitive games, not training camp, not preseason games, not Kyle Sloter games. I mean, actual regular season potential games. But and he is, I would guess too, that with what he did, it goes a long way with teammates as well.
Yes, 100%.
Because they know the
Absolutely.
Poor kid threw, you know, 90 passes, right? So like, I know that that's stress on your arm, and I know that that's a ridiculous ask. I mean, that's the thing is, you're like, we have no quarterbacks but one, and that one kid shows up and does everything, that's a credit. So I'm thinking, if I'm in that locker room right now, it means something to me that I saw a real character play by a guy who probably could have said, what the F is going on here?
So
good for him.
Or
I'm
just, you know, been nervous or whatever to take on those first team reps. He doesn't throw to Justin Jefferson a lot. He doesn't throw to Adam Thielen a lot. But he did a great job with the first team offense, not just throwing to the backups against backups. A tough night for Cam Dantzler against the great receivers. The Vikings corners always look worse. That was why we weren't sure last year if they were going to be able to play or not, because they always look bad against these receivers. But he found people down the field. He had touch passes. He operated the 2-minute drill like he's been a quarterback before. He operated the red zone like he's been a quarterback before. And maybe there's like a Chase Daniel comparison or something, where if you need this guy to step in, he could step in and maybe he wins you half the games. That's the backup quarterback rule. Like John Clayton's yep. old backup quarterback
Absolutely.
Rule. Can you win half the games?
Yes.
And maybe he could. And maybe they feel that way after tonight. And so he deserves credit for that. And I totally agree with what you said about like the locker room and how they will rally around something like this. I think this would matter a lot to them. And somebody else told me, just who I was talking to tonight, that, you know, the teammates already like who he is. And so I think he deserves credit for that. Otherwise, tonight, I don't have a lot of other things other than the kicker missed twice from 50. Greg Joseph.
Yeah, I saw a wide left.
There was a wide left, and there was a, of course, there was a post too. There was a doink.
Yep.
That did not go in. Yes. So there's that, and I don't know what to make of that, but the 50-yarder that went wide left went way wide left, so not off to a pristine start from the kicking perspective.
Yep.
Other than that, though, Wyatt Davis not here, and I assume that's close contact with Kellen Mond, but when we asked about the right guard competition, Wyatt Davis was basically not even brought up.
Yeah, and he has not done no first team work at all. The only thing, so there's two things, well, there's three. The backup QB thing confuses me a bit, okay? The second thing is I'm really curious about going into camp and seemingly the season with Greg Joseph, who has not really kicked competitively. He's kicked off in 2 years. And on this team for this coach, that's your kicker. That is very confusing. I know that Dan Bailey was a disaster at times last year, but I think the idea of going and getting a veteran was with the head coach here, with Zim. I think that was the right move. And then the third thing that's I'm really confusing me, and perhaps you can explain this, Dakota Dozier is getting a ton of work. Not all of it, but he's getting a ton of work at first team right guard. What do they see as him in a right guard that they didn't see in him at left guard? And one, I'm a little bit confused he's even back on the roster, but okay. But you're really going to give him a chance to start? Because right now, it looks that way.
Want to remind you to go to sodastick.com to get your original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. If you have not seen it yet, you've got to check it out. A couple of my favorite designs are the Duck Duck Gray Duck and the Randy Moss Goat, which you've got to see. All their apparel is screen-printed here in Minnesota on super soft, super comfy shirts and hoodies. You will love it. We're going to hook you up with free shipping on your next order. By the way, use promo code PURPLEINSIDER for free shipping. That's SodaStick, SOTASTICK.com. Original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. Code PURPLEINSIDER for free shipping.
And more likely than not, in my mind, Dakota Dozier will outplay Ole Udo because they decided to tell Ole Udo basically the night before training camp that he was going to be a guard now, which is very odd and seems like it must have been a Phil Rauscher thing. That as soon as Phil Rauscher found out he was the offensive line coach.
Phil must have screamed it then.
Yeah. Right. He's very loud. Extremely
Phil's
loud.
Phil's voice carries, yes. And his words are not always fit for family fun at training camp.
No, I hope he doesn't do it too much near the hospitality.
A lot of F-bombs coming. I mean, it's football, so it's great.
Football.
It's hilarious, but he gets very upset.
Yeah, he's not very hospitable to the lineman.
But what's your take there?
Well, to me, that's just asking a guy to suddenly be a guard, the odds that Udo is ready to go, if that's even a thing, or if they're just trying to figure out if he could play anywhere, which is sort of my suspicion, it all kind of points to Dakota Dozier playing right guard, which I know is the nightmare scenario for Vikings fans. But with his experience, it's just hard to see a guy adapting quick enough to start at right guard. And then Mike Zimmer mentioned even Drew Samia in the mix.
Has he been with the first team at all?
No.
Okay.
No. He hasn't.
I didn't think I was going crazy.
But he mentioned him as part of the competition. I don't know. But Wyatt Davis not being able to practice and then taking center snaps the other day where, I mean, he said, look, we've got a center hurt, so somebody needed to take center snaps with the third team. That's nothing to panic over. But him not getting any first team reps by now, again, not panic, but we've seen this movie before where they just believe somebody can play when they can't really, and that was the Pat Elflein story. Yeah. We're going to put him back in at center after he got hurt, then we're going to move him to guard, then we're going to move him to the other guard, and then finally decide, okay, this didn't work. Yeah. And it seems like with Dakota Dozier, we're sort of headed down that path again. And people will say to me, like, oh, well, anything's got to be better than Dozier. And the answer is, well, not really, because Semia wasn't. And
no, he was a disaster too.
So with Udo, like, Udo is definitely more physically gifted, but if he doesn't know what he's supposed to do, we're going to see kind of a redux of Semia last year. So that situation is just flat out confusing. The only other thing that kind of stuck out to me tonight was just that D.D. Westbrook was taking punt returns. That was kind of the only thing he was doing, but he was doing that. And K.J. Osborne made another great play. We've talked about him almost every day as somebody who's been a riser. And I remember talking to Lance Leipold, the former UB coach, about K.J. Osborne because he went there before he went to Miami. And he said, don't be surprised by anything the guy does. Like, he's got an incredible mentality, and he'll work as hard as it takes. And he worked with Jarvis Landry in the offseason and Justin Jefferson. And it shows, man. I mean, he's just making plays every single day.
Made a great catch tonight.
This is the thing. It's like these football guys will talk all the time about, like, oh, you know, you guys don't know what you're looking for, and we've got all these things, and we review this, and we look at all these numbers and everything else. A lot of times who wins jobs just comes down to who makes plays, and K.J. Osborne has been making plays.
Yes, and so B.C. Johnson tore his ACL in practice on Friday.
Yeah.
So he's gone.
Right.
Yet the Westbrook thing, so he also tore up his knee last year at Jacksonville. I think he tore his ACL. They're easing him back in, so I'm guessing he's going to be wide receiver three eventually. But K.J. Osborne, I think, makes the team.
Yeah. Well, and might be week one. I mean, like, more we go along with Westbrook, behind he becomes.
I think the thing, though, to keep in mind is, unless this offense changes mightily, which it's not going to, I think wide receiver three is really Irv Smith Jr., who's a tight end, but he has been getting the ball a ton.
Oh, yeah.
He looks good.
Yes, terrific.
And it feels like the Rudolph shackles are finally off there. I think this kid, I mean, he's been good. I think he's going to be fantastic.
I think so, too. And I remember, you know, seeing him up close for the first time in 2019 and thinking, wow, you're not very big for a tight end. I mean, Rudolph is a mountain.
Right.
So, of course, he looks smaller compared to him. Now I look at Irv Smith up close and think, you look like a tight end.
Yes.
I think he's probably put on, I would guess, like 15, 20 pounds. I mean, he looks like he's got a lot more muscle. He looks like he's really filled out. And we're talking about
he's filled out. You're right.
He is the youngest tight end in the tight end room, which is very odd, but it's also true. So you're talking about a guy who already showed that he can do it in the first 2 years. This isn't someone who hasn't played and we're saying, well, maybe he'll go out there. Every day he makes a great catch. Every day he's getting open. And it's, you know, not pads yet, but the things sort of align. Like, it takes a couple of years for tight ends. He looks bigger.
Yes.
He looks stronger.
Yes.
He clearly dedicated himself to this by going to the tight end university with George Kittle and with Travis Kelce. Like, I think that if you're sort of placing a bet on anybody to take a step forward, it's him. And that's why the offensive line thing and the Kirk thing, that's why they're just so important. Because Jefferson is incredible. Thielen looks great. I mean, he's making plays every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dalvin Cook is...
your skill position players are fantastic.
Yeah, he's a top three running back. Right, like, you've got all the pieces here.
Yes.
But if you play Dakota Dozier at right guard, and your quarterback misses four games due to COVID protocols, I mean, it could take something apart that is a very, very good roster.
And that's what Zim is concerned about.
Yep.
Like, he has every right to what Mike said today to me as a football coach. So just pure football, right? Made perfect sense. Like, he knows there's a lot of people in this building that we are in right now whose jobs are going to be on the line if this does not go well. It's just there's not going to be, well, you know, the quarterback wasn't vaccinated, so let's run it back next year, right? Last year was disappointing. Mike has the now established pattern of making the playoffs every other year. This is that. I think that this team needs a playoff run.
I agree.
I don't know that one playoff win does it now. I think that there's going to be a demand and expectation. The only things that concern me about the line are, one, if Dakota Dozier starts at right guard, and two, I don't think there's any chance on God's green earth that Christian Darrisaw now is going to start the season at left tackle.
Yep.
Rashad Hill works his ass off. I really like him.
Yep.
He's a good swing backup tackle. I don't want to leave him at left tackle in perpetuity.
Okay.
Do you?
No, of course not.
Right, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying if
I was just going to let you mic drop on that.
Oh,
to wrap up.
No,
the
but
show.
I'm just well, yeah, but it's your show. I'm just telling you. It makes me concerned because I like a lot of folks said, "Well, first round left
oh,
tackle.
Oh yeah, oh
you
yeah.
You got
of course.
This filled."
Yep.
And the one thing that people need to keep in mind, and because you know we always talk about the offensive line sucked, and look, there were parts of it that weren't good. Totally agree with that. But the one thing that people forget is Riley Reiff had a good season.
He was great. Zero sacks.
But, I mean, think about yeah. the perception of him compared to what we know. Like, the perception was, oh, he could be replaced.
Just a guy.
Just
right.
a guy.
Yeah.
He was not just a guy in 2020.
Right.
So.
As always.
That's all I got for you.
A lot is happening. And I'm glad we could do this, and I hope we could do it again very soon. Judd,
fun.
Felt like a throwback. We've done this many, many times, and we'll keep doing it. So, great to see you. And
I'm
just going to take a deep breath because it's been a day. So, all right, everyone. Take care. That's it.